Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet on GQ Palace Radio. It's better than better. It's better than better.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got me.
Relationships, and I am your host KL Belvin, and my lovely co-host, the lovely Tiffany Braxton Belvin, should be there. Are you there, love?
Of course I am.
Oh, what's going on, darling? We want to say thank you to everyone that has tuned in tonight. If you're tuning in from your PC, thank you. If you've tuned in from your phone at 646-200-3838, we want to say thank you. And if you want to jump on at any time, feel free to just press the number one, let the host know who you are, and they will give us word that you're there, and we'll bring you in and hear your thoughts. So we are back on the air after a nice long week. So since I have you on, we can go back to some of our original programming. So why don't you tell me what your week has been like, my love?
My week, boring.
Really?
I'm joking. Actually, I've been building my calendar. I just posted on Facebook. I joked about a couple of weeks ago. I said, since I'm home and not working, I'm here with the baby, I'm going to become a plus-size socialite. And since I've said that, my calendar has been building. It's interesting that I went from having absolutely nothing to do to having a lot to do between weddings, fashion shows, appearances, just different things coming up in the next few weeks and couple of months. And as everyone knows, Full Figured Fashion Week is coming up in June. And I'm happy to say that my husband...
We can't talk about that right now. We'll discuss that after Monday. I didn't get the okay. Just tune in next Thursday. We will fill you in. Pay attention to Facebook after Monday.
Forgot to tell
you that behind the scenes. But yes, I'll talk about that, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, Full Figured Fashion Week is coming up, and that's the 16th to the 21st. And, of course, like every year, I will
tell
be in attendance.
Tell them what Full Figured Fashion Week is first, though,
before you tell me the attendance. Full Figured Fashion Week is produced by DeVoe Signature Events. Ms. Gwendolyn DeVoe is the executive producer, and it is a showcase that features basically a collection of models, photographers, designers, entertainers, all geared toward plus-size fashions. And this was the brainchild of Gwen DeVoe. The first year was 2009. Mm-hmm. And I actually modeled the first year. I really, really enjoyed it. But I actually enjoy it more as a spectator. I enjoy it being in the audience and watching it because it's a lot of work. It's hard work. And I have a few friends who will walk in the last show, which this year is the last show. I'm sad to see it go because each year the event has gotten bigger and bigger, and it sells out every single year since the inauguration. So I'm a little disappointed that it will be the last year, but I'm looking forward to it because I know Mr. Vole is going to make sure that it goes out with a big bang. So I'm looking forward to that.
And to think that you walked the very first one.
Yes, I walked the very first show. And I will have that to add to the many stories that I tell our little daughter, KL, who is sitting right here enjoying a bottle right next to me. Hopefully she won't be doing any fussing this evening because she fusses a lot. But other than that, yeah, we're preparing for the upcoming events.
Cool. Well, that is great to hear. And, you know, the Full Figure Fashion Week, it's great because the fact that we know many of the individuals that are involved personally, and to see the growth over these years and see how it was almost taken as a joke the first year, taken as a joke by many. And then because Ms. DeVoe stuck to it and her vision was clear and she continued to add to the vision, it brought more people to the table that where last year, Italian Vogue, Huffington Post sent people to cover it. You had folks from all over. So I'm actually going to be sad to see it go. But I know Ms. DeVoe would not be ending it if she didn't have something else up her sleeve. And knowing Ms. DeVoe, she's always planning ahead. And so to actually see it come to an end, nothing wrong with that because I know it's on to greater things, and I will give my announcement this week about Full Figure. So just pay attention to next week. We'll talk about Full Figure Fashion because I've actually invited the first year to be a part of a panel, and the principal that I had at that time would not allow me to take the day off without me facing some type of harsh retribution. So I was unable to play a role, which means I would have been a part of the first Full Figure Fashion Week panel. And so, you know, I regretted that, but it was okay. That was my first year as a published author, too, so that wasn't a bad year. But anyway, My week has been pretty good. School year is winding down. I am trying to stay motivated, as well as I have been looking for other positions outside of New York, trying to move us to Delaware, because I'm just tired of living in New York. As many of you know and have been listening, and you may not care, but you know, they tendered us a new contract, and I'm not going to get into contract talk tonight, but it is not the best contract to be offered. And as a teacher, I'm so tired of being insulted. I am just looking to move into another field of business. And also, so I'm not going to go into any more than that, not going to bore anybody with that. Also, I've had an opportunity to sit down and really get my opportunities together of the events that I have coming up for the summer, where I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. A day after school ends, I'll be on my way to Dover, Delaware. And then the next week, it is back to Wilmington, Delaware, different places to sign books. And a couple weeks later, it's Youngstown, Ohio. I'm doing Maryland, going back to Delaware. And actually, next Saturday, the 17th, I will be speaking in Brooklyn. And actually, let me give the address. I just want to make sure I give it the right way. Lord. Let me find out. I can't find where I'll be. Ain't that something?
You'll be in Brooklyn.
Anyway, yeah, I'll be in Brooklyn.
You'll be someplace in Brooklyn.
I'll be somewhere in Brooklyn. Actually, I thought I had it in there. Anyway, I'll be speaking in Brooklyn, and I'm working on an event in Florida. I'm trying to secure everything and to travel down to Florida if possible. But I'm just trying to keep busy and trying to get the word out about From Gigolo to Jesus, and trying to make sure that folks understand where I'm coming from, as well as with the new book. I am trying to keep the word out about that. Where did I put it? I thought I had it here. I also came up with, oh, here we go. All right, I just want to make sure. I knew I had it. Okay, it's I'll be working with the Women Living More Abundantly, and I will be at 177 Utica Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, from 2 to 4 o'clock on Saturday, May 17th. And we are going to discuss, and this is for the ladies, by the way, sorry, fellas, this is just for the ladies, but what we're going to be discussing is how you can control the type of relationship you want to be in a reflection of the partner you want, and the role faith plays in your relationship choices. And I will be discussing those points, as well as signing copies of my book, From Gigolo to Jesus and Soldiers of the Cross and Man in Transition. So if you want to come out, feel free to come out and make sure you get there early, because we're going to get started on time. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have a wonderful time. So I am excited. As the summer is rolling around, I got a lot of things on my plate. And I have came up with a writing idea, a series of small focused books that is going to help promote the Christian faith that I happen to be a believer in, and just some more things to add to my literary repertoire. So this way folks can get an understanding of who I am from various different directions, but I am actually going to continue the things I do to help other folks. So that is it for me. Now, baby doll.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the fact that Mother's Day is coming up, you know, what's going on in the news? And I'm almost scared to ask you about the news, because it can get quite crazy. But what you got going on in the news? Because I definitely want to talk about something, a big story in the news that prompted tonight's show. So when you get the chance, I'll jump in. So go right ahead, baby doll.
Well, speaking of mothers, I was reading an article today regarding Jada Pinkett Smith.
I just saw that picture.
Okay, so you've seen the picture. Willow Smith, the daughter of Jada and Will Smith, was in a picture posed with the actor from Hannah Montana. His name is Moses Arias. Now, he's 20 years old, and Willow is 13. And in the picture, he's sitting with his shirt off, and Willow is laying across the bed. And it looks, upon the first view of the picture, it looks questionable. But you have to think also that it can also be innocent, that, you know, they probably were in the room together, in the house together, and of course somebody's taking the picture, so it's more than just them in the room. But it caught fire. It went viral, and everyone's saying it's inappropriate. Why is she in the bed with him? You know, there are innuendos. Is there a sexual relationship between them? So, of course, Jada fired back, and she said the photo was very innocent. There was nothing sexual about the photo and nothing sexual about Willow.
She actually said that people are covert pedophiles because of where they took it, with no information. So she called folks, you know, comments proving that they're covert pedophiles. I'm like, wow.
I think that's pretty strong. I really do. And what people have to understand is in the entertainment industry, and I've seen a very small window, you know, being a plus-size model and different things, working with people, with networks and different things, that their lifestyle is completely different than the average person. And I'll say this because I'll give an example. Now, this might be innocent. This might be all well and innocent. Who knows? I'm not going to make that judgment because it's just a picture. It's not like she's giving him a lap dance or anything. But years ago, when Brandy was 14 years old, her mother admitted that she allowed Brandy to date a guy that was over 20 years old because she felt that if she didn't let her do it, she was going to do it anyway, because that's just how the industry was, that unfortunately the younger generation dated older people. Now, this was from her, this was from her words. Now, I don't know if I would allow my 14-year-old to date a man that's over 20 years old.
I know we wouldn't, but go ahead.
No, you know what's funny? The reason why I'm saying this is because I have to admit that when I was 14, my boyfriend was 20 years old.
All right, so now I got a punch in the head. What's his name? How old are you?
What?
I think the statute for us, right? You just dated. Forgot what
I didn't say having sex. See? I did not say having sex. I said dating. I was not physically active with the guy. We were just dating. But
can you say that about most kids and not being, are most kids just dating, or is it more nowadays, though?
It is more nowadays. That's why I said it's interesting that Jada would say that people are covert pedophiles. Not necessarily. The things that children, and I'm saying children because I've known some as young as 12 and 11 and 10, doing things that you would not think in your wildest dreams that they would do.
Trust me, I know.
It's not that people are covert pedophiles. It's just that children have access to a lot more, and they're doing a lot more.
And there's pervs out there. Let's keep it real.
And I understand that.
That's preying on kids.
I understand she wants to protect her daughter's, you know, reputation also, and she wants to make sure that you know, image doesn't go out there about her daughter. But I had a conversation with someone on Facebook today, and I told them, I said, it's funny, you know, I understand she's protecting her daughter, but I have had friends who've had parents that said to them, oh, I know you're not doing anything, so I don't even have to worry about it, when they were doing everything. I've had friends, it's so funny, as an adult, it was the weirdest thing. I've had two friends say that their mother thought that they were still virgins. They were living on their own in their 30s, and their mothers thought that they were still virgins. And I said, no, you're joking. Your mother's just trying to keep up that facade so that it's not in her head that you're having sex. And they were very serious. They said, no, my mother actually thinks that I'm a virgin. And neither one of them were virgins. So it's just, I don't know if that's a parenting thing. I've had family members that says they don't want to know what their kids are doing.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's to protect them, but I think it damages the relationship that you don't have that type of relationship that you can talk with your children.
Well, that's, you know, that's, oof. That's one of the things that we're going to talk about later on tonight, going into Mother's Day, is just actually discussing the effect that mothers have on their children. And we're not excluding fathers just to be excluding. We just want to talk to the mothers tonight. You know, we kind of switch it up from time to time. We will get into that later on. But I don't know. I'm just, you know, I was raised by women, so a lot of times things that were said to me is jaded. But my grandmother had always had issues with older boys, older men around young girls, because she used to always say, "He got a penis, don't you?" But she would say the other word. Because her whole thing was, and that's why she didn't play that sitting on the lap thing and stuff like that. She didn't, you know, none of those games, because she just, you know, it just, she knew that there was cats out there doing things that they wasn't supposed to. And she was like, "You just don't put your children in that situation." And, you know, you always had that uncle who, you know, went a little too far. And I'm always shocked by the number of women who say something happened to them by a family member when they're older and you're sitting down talking to them. And it makes you wonder sometimes, like, wow, why does this go unreported? So I don't know. My thing with the picture is that when I looked at it, I didn't see it as something negative initially, because I know how modeling can be. I know that modeling uses a lot of young girls to take pictures. It doesn't mean that they're actually allowing them to have sex. The problem is they're promoting somewhat sexually suggestive thoughts.
Right.
Now, of course, people will say, well, how somebody reacts to what they see is on them. But for me, I believe that you have to be careful what thoughts you are going after. Now, I know that may not make sense to some people, but unfortunately, I'm going to come from a point of view where my faith cuts into this, too, is that I believe the person has to be responsible for what they put out there. You cannot control the way people think. I got that. But you do have to be somewhat careful. But like I said, I looked at it, I understood how models work, and I thought it was just a black and white attempt at, you know, what photographers and models do. Plus, I don't think mom and dad would not be around for something like that. I would hope not, being that they've been in the industry as long as they are. But, you know, you hear so many things connected to that family that sometimes you don't know what to believe. And I simply go, until something is out there that we can say is for true, as they say, I'm going to rock that they're doing the best they can. And it's funny that this picture was out, because we were actually talking about, I was talking to the kids in school. A little off the subject, though, was about speaking your future into existence. Like, if you go back to that scene in The Fresh Prince when Will Smith is dealing with his father, Ben Vereen, leaving, and he's like, "Why my father don't want me?" If you listen to Will Smith's rant, he says, "When I get older, I'm going to have a fly woman, and I'm going to have some kids, and I'm going to be a damn good father to my kids." And I said, I thought that was so ironic that here he was in one of his greatest acting scenes that people say as a young kid, he was actually speaking into existence what he became. So I just don't think a father that he has portrayed himself to be would allow his daughter to be in that situation. I hope not, at least. So I'm not going to bug out. But I can tell you this. When they put the contract in front of KL and they say, "She's going to be laying on the bed with the punch to the mouth," I will be on World Star Hip Hop.
And I'll be right there with you. I think sometimes in the industry that people see the money and they see the dollar signs, yeah, and they see, oh, I want my child to be famous and I want this, I want that. You have to take more control as a parent.
No doubt.
Have to say, you know what,
no,
I'm not going to allow my child to do this because, and you have to stand your ground.
No
if that
doubt.
Means your child is not going to be famous, then so be it.
No doubt.
But,
yeah, I can just see it now. You yelling world stars. My man is just catching it. You one of my daughters to do what? Yeah, you call the police. If you can get to the phone, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. But no, there's some money you just got to leave on the table. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the big thing, as we come to the bottom of the first half an hour, I got to bring up in the news Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant accepting speech for his MVP award. and he is the 2013-14 MVP of the National Basketball Association. But I went back and watched his acceptance speech a second time because it's actually what got me thinking about tonight's subject, is that it is so refreshing, one, to see a young man crying in the right environment. Second, it's beyond refreshing to see a young man stand there and give his mom the due, as well as his father, even though they're not together, but he acknowledged his father, and he thanked his father for giving him Bible verses and being there. And he said he's glad that he's able to share this with his father. But then he put the focus on his mother. And he said that he remembered all of the time and all the moving that they had to do when they were coming up in Maryland. And, you know, one time moving into an apartment, they didn't have a bed, furniture, and they just kind of sat in the middle of the floor huddled together. And he said he thought that was the best of times. And he talked about his mother feeding them and not even feeding herself. And the mother said she was shocked that he remembered all the next day when she was talking to her, because, of course, she was all emotional, bundles of tears, was that she was shocked that he remembered all that. But as an educator, I'm going to tell you why this moved me. I see on a daily basis what kids hold on to and how it affects their behavior and how it can sway things, good or bad. That pendulum changes so much. And then as a father and having kids in environments like the Durant and the Durant's mother and father not being together and having kids in that environment, I see how that pendulum can swing back and forth, and depending on what the relationship that the mother has with the children, how it can affect the relationship with the father, and the relationship that the father has, how it can affect the child. Let me tell you something. When I seen that young man, who's one of the best in the world, say to his mother, she's the real MVP. You know, you don't script that. Didn't no speechwriter write that. And before he did that, he thanked every one of his teammates and his brothers and everybody else. And to me, that's what's missing. That's what's not being promoted enough. Because nowadays, we're calling kids like that soft. And when kids are showing emotion, we're calling them gay or fag or any other derogatory comments when kids start to allow their emotional side to be seen. And I just want any mother or father to sit their child down with them, not just by themselves, with them, and watch that acceptance speech and understand the power that you possess. So I tip my hat to Kevin Durant. It doesn't matter if his team wins or not, simply because I'm just a basketball fan. I just like good basketball. But I'm not going to be upset if my man wins it all. I'm secretly rooting for the Heat. I ain't going to lie. I want LeBron to win like 20 championships because of how bad people treated him when he left Cleveland and went to Miami. But that's a separate issue. But I definitely would not have a problem if Durant won it all, because we need good men in positions in sports, because if they're going to, when I say they, I mean the power structure at B, if they're only going to allow entertainers and athletes to slip through some of the cracks, then I want some of our better young men and women to slip through those cracks and be the examples to maybe pull some of the other young men and women forward to where they are. So tip of the hat to Kevin Durant. I ain't going to lie, I cried a little bit because it was just honest emotion. And thank you so much. And we just got to understand that when we're watching something that's pure, you got to allow that to sink in. So I would tell any mother and father that's listening, just bring it up. Just put in Kevin Durant's acceptance speech. It'll come up. I looked the other day. It'll come up like 8, 9, 10 times. But watch the whole thing. Don't just watch the part with his mom. Watch the whole acceptance speech, because watch how humble this man is. He is now labeled the best basketball player in the NBA, but he thanked everyone on his team and said he could not have done it without them. Our young men and women need to understand that. They need to understand that much of where they're trying to go will not happen on their own. See, television doesn't feed them that. You know, other things around them doesn't feed them that. And the one thing that's natural, when you get natural motion, you got to jump in on that. So, You know, and another thing I want to get at, and I think Tiff is going to take a step away a second, so I'm just going to rock with you for a little bit, is that Tiff and I watched Love & Hip Hop the other evening. I was flipping through the channels, and I saw Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. I couldn't tell you what episode or anything like that, but I said, you know, let me watch this, because I had just saw a couple of people that I know on my page post that they couldn't wait. You know what? I tell you what, because I want Tiff to be in on this, because she just stepped away for a second. Tell you what, it is now 8:31. We normally take a break at the bottom of the hour anyway. We're going to come back at two songs, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Love and Hip Trash, whatever that stuff we watch, and then we're going to get into tonight's subject about moms and their connection to children. So thank you for tuning in to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin. We will be back in two, count them, two songs. So make sure you tell a friend and tune in.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationship every Thursday from 8 to 10. You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Belvin. Belvin on GQ Palace Radio. It's butter, baby.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Power Radio. Cheekpoo Palace Radio.
Let's do it.
Relationships, and oh my gosh, woo, we love having you. Also, I want to say to you guys listening in from your phones, if you want to get in the talk, just press the one. Don't sit there, you know, and try to figure it out. It's real simple. Just hit one, and you'll be connected to the host, and then you'll be back on with us, or the host will let us know that you're there, and we'll have you come on the air. So, before we went to break, we were talking about love and hip-hop in Atlanta, and staying with the theme about mothers. You know, I don't have no idea why I turned it on, but I said, you know what?
I don't know either.
I said, let me just see what everybody's talking about, because, you know, I heard about this chick, Mimi, and I don't know the characters. I don't know the names. I don't know nothing. But I just happened to turn on to the episode, I guess, when Mimi's boyfriend, man, whatever, was explaining about his bag got stolen and the tape was in there, and now it's on media takeout. Now, I have an issue when someone is trying to feed me stupidity, when it's not in the right arena. Like, I'll give you an example. Tiff and I was watching some corny movie, Dance Flicks, with Keenan Ivory Wayne's son, I mean, Damon Wayne's son and some other folks. But you know that it's stupid because it's comedy. It's slapstick comedy. It's supposed to be somewhat corny, somewhat stupid. You laugh because Tiff always says, I don't know why you find that funny. Okay, we understand that. But Ratchet TV is different. Ratchet TV not only makes us look ignorant, but it paints the wrong picture, in my opinion, to kids that this is a means of making money, because it is. And so they start to emulate the ratchetness, but they're not getting paid the money for it. So you start to wonder, well, how are you doing it? Because it's the effect. So we're watching this, and the chick is like, I'm a mother. What am I supposed to say? Okay, you know what? No one can tell you what to do with your boyfriend. But when you're already in the act, do you really need it on video? Do you really need to sit down and go, what are we going to watch tonight, honey? I know. Let's watch what we did last Friday.
You know what's funny? I have never, ever, and it's crazy because when I was younger, my mom would say, don't ever take pictures and don't ever put it on video. But I have never felt the desire to put it on video. I don't want to watch it. You whistling, obviously you did. I just, once it's done, it's done. If I need to remind myself of what we did, we can just do it again. I don't need to watch it on TV. You whistling.
I'll just say... I have audioed and videoed some more. I have recorded myself audio, and I have recorded myself on video. When I was doing my thing, when I was Ratchet Jones.
Why?
You know what? Because it was stupid, and it was something to do. Plus, you know, I was patting myself on the back because of my performance. And I just felt like, you know what? That's something. And you know what? And the first thing I did was let other people hear and see.
You let other people watch this?
Yeah, why not? Because I wanted to let folks know, you know, Big Brothers do porn too. And, you know, it's stupid because you know that when you create it, and I mean, I'm saying to the ladies, if you don't know that someone is going to show it, then you're stupid. Somebody's going to see it. If they're not going to see it when y'all are dating, it's going to be seen when y'all break up. And it is definitely going to happen. Don't kid yourself. My thing is, how can you cry about being the mom and all that other stuff when now you're worried about it after the fact? You know, come on. These are the things that are supposed to be at the forefront. Now, I'm not saying that you should not do it. I'm just saying don't use that as your excuse after the fact now that you're worried about it. And then it was just stupid because he was – she said, well, why didn't you tell me that it was lost? He said, I didn't want to worry about it. I was trying to get it back. But then when you start to watch the rest, continuing on, and you see that this dude, little scrappy, scrippy, whatever, little scrappy, his mother basically was like, you know, he's humping other chicks, and you just
so
whatever.
She was a mess. She was a hot ghetto mess. And for everyone listening, when... I use the term, it's so funny, I use the term, and I stole it from Keith, upper ghetto class. But I've made it my own term, elite ghetto class. And the elite ghetto class is the ghetto with money. And that's the mother. I could not understand. She was a wretched mess. She was a mess because she was everything that you want your mother to be. I don't even understand what was going on with her.
You know, well, you know what it is because, but here's the thing is, if I had never seen a mother like that, then I would say, wow, you know, that's just, is made for television. Now, a lot of it is accentuated for television, but I have met mothers like that. And one of the things I have to honestly say, I was just in a store today, and the mother is cursing at her 7 or 8 year old. I don't know if it's her grandson or whatever. And she's like, "Mother F, are you buying, the stuff? Stop telling me about this and stop touching this and stop whatever." And it's like, okay, this child is 7 or 8. Now, are you going to be the same parent flipping when school calls and said he's in here cursing? Because what did you just show him? What did you just say to him? That the only way to handle it in public? And I'm just thinking, and then I'm looking, and you know they say don't judge people by the way that they look. And so, you know, when you see a person's exterior, you say to yourself, you seem like something's wrong, but you're talking like this in public to a child. What can your expectations be for this child? And again, it goes into, and we can get right into what we were talking about tonight, is one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is just that right there, is that moms, you have such a powerful connection to your child. And Tiff can tell you now as a new mother, when they cut that umbilical cord, it's so the child can live on their own. But your connection to that child doesn't stop there. The nursing, the bonding that goes on from the nursing, that's healing to the mother and the child. Hey, look, and even the baby's chiming in. Go ahead, Kay. You got something to say? So when that bonding is necessary. So, you know, I remember Tiff reading and just things that it says that the things that you eat, the things that you think can affect the child in the womb, even the music that you listen to. So it makes me wonder, once these children, are here, how come mothers aren't considering good, bad, or indifferent that role, like how powerful that role is? And it makes me really, really stop and think, like, and I know it should be mother, father doing their thing. And please don't bug out about the mom and mom, dad and dad thing tonight. I'm not dealing with homosexuality tonight. We'll deal with that on another show, because that's, you know, Tiff and I are a couple of faith, and it's not the way we look at things. But, you know, you're welcome to raise your children any way you want. You're welcome to raise your child in any home that you want. But I feel more comfortable speaking about it this way. But if you disagree, we can agree to disagree. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm looking at, when I see mothers with their children, it makes me wonder, like, do you know that you have such a profound effect on how young women turn out, how young men turn out? Like, I see students sometimes, and I'm like, oh, mom, please just let that child go. And then there's some moms, I can't wait to pat them on the back. And I'm like, get at them, mom, because I see exactly what you're trying to do. And I see the effect that it has on him or her. Oh, you okay? Bless you. On him and her as a developing young adult. And so what's your thoughts, Tiff? Because I just think at the earliest stage, I just wish mothers would take more of a consideration. And I guess maybe I'm speaking more to urban. No, I'm not even going to say urban mothers. I'm just saying mothers in general.
I just
think something's missing.
I agree, especially when I was watching the show and to hear a mother. And I've always said that mothers don't really fully understand. They act like they do, and they say they do, but they don't understand
Hold that thought for one second. We do have a caller that's calling. Let me just check. So we have Marcus Campbell is on the line.
Yeah.
Brother Marcus Campbell.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's going on, brother?
Nothing, just leaving off the baseball field, coaching Little League Baseball.
Okay. And so what'd you hear about, what's your thoughts about what we're talking about tonight?
Well, me personally, I think I was raised in a single parent home by my mother.
Okay.
Even though my father was around, you know, he always was here, but he didn't live with us.
Mm-hmm.
And his words was, is the house rules. My mother didn't play, you know. She always said she was our mother, but she was our friend also.
Okay.
And she didn't. She was a disciplinarian, but you know she wasn't strict. And okay. Me being the oldest, when I first came along, she was kind of timid with me. She didn't want me to fall or nothing. But over time, she realized that's a boy. He's going to do boy things. But she always taught us right from wrong. And she let us know the things that a boy and a man should do, and which was expected from you in life.
All right.
If a mother shows a little concern for her kid's going to turn show the same respect back to her.
Gotcha. And that's actually proved in the Kevin Durant speech. What I was saying about earlier is that he remembered things that the mother didn't even remember because of the effect that it had on him.
Yeah, and you know, they said it takes a man to raise a boy to a man, which is true to a point, because a man understand they've been there and done that, they know the con games that the boys try to run on their mother.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother sees it, but she doesn't want to see it. The same way with a little girl and her father. The dad sees it, but the little girl has daddy high. But all in all, I think no mother is the same. And we can't expect all mothers to be alike. Everybody has a different way of raising their child. But at the same time, we all know what we expect out of a mother. And as a child, when you're small, you think your mother is being hard on you. But when you get grown, you understand what she did. Tell her, Ma, I appreciate what you did. I love you for what you did.
Oh, no doubt. I think, and that's one of the things, like, I would never say that all mothers had to be alike. But the one thing I would say that has to be consistent, and I think you said it earlier about being a disciplinarian, is that if you are in a single environment, okay, you still have to make sure that that line is clear, because, you know, every mother has a different role and different connection to her child and children, whichever one you have. It's just a matter of making sure that you're giving that child room to grow into who that child is going to become and not stifling that. Because
exactly.
I think that's the danger that we face, is that if a mother doesn't have herself in check, she could feed a lot of negativity into a child without even realizing it, simply by the things that she exposes to that child.
Yeah.
And
What I was going to say also is that a lot of times I hear people say, I'll raise my child the way I want to, I'll do this, that, and other. But we also have to have the mindset is this is a child that's going to go out into society. And we have to understand how their behavior or their actions are going to impact the people around them. So we can't just have it where I'm going to raise my child to be a hooligan and just throw him out to the wolves and, you know, it be what it be. We have to have some mindset that we need to be accountable for what we infuse in our children, especially as the mother.
Yeah, because the child's actions reflect the actions of the parent.
Definitely.
What they used to say at home training, you don't have no home training when you go out in public.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they used to say when I was a kid. I'm 40 years old. When I was a kid, they used to say home training.
Gotcha. And that's the same thing. It's because it starts at home, because the kids don't make it to school until they're about 3 and a half, 4, and they don't start regular public school or private school till they 5. So, and the greatest development happens in those first 5 years. A lot of parents don't understand that. So a lot that goes on in the crib and the bassinet and the playpen has so much to do with how your child is going to turn, to start the turn. Now, what they're going to be later on has a lot to do with other influences that come into play outside as well as inside. But definitely those first 5 years is so important, because you got to give something stable to really get this child to exercise what's the best in them. You know
True.
What I'm saying? Now, Brother Campbell, let me ask you a question. I hear the accent, brother. What part of the country there are you from? Because I hear the accent. Richmond, Virginia. Okay. All right. Cool. Because now I think parts of the country sometimes treat their children subtly different too, because I know Southern parents, and I know my grandparents and them were from the Virginia area, North Carolina area, and there was just some things they didn't play. And there was just some things they wasn't dealing with. And you and I are about the same age. I'm 46, so I'm a little older. But I know my great-grandmother was from the North Carolina, Virginia Hills, North Carolina Hills, and they didn't play a whole lot of games when it came to how to get certain things done.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
A get a switch, get a cat nine tails, and all of my country folk know what a cat nine tail is.
Yeah, I get you.
So,
my mother, you know, we had the freedom. We would go outside mm-hmm. to play, but you had your rules and regulations you was expected to follow. She wasn't too strict, you know, if you did something to get in trouble, she talked to you the first time and tell you what you did wrong.
Gotcha.
But if you did it again, then that's on you, and you got the bad consequences. Because everything you do in life, you got consequences and repercussions behind.
Okay, so let me jump forward. I got you on the phone, Brother Campbell. Let me jump mm-hmm. forward. When should the mother take her hands back away from her daughter and away from her son? Because that's something I was going to get into a little bit later. But since I have you on the phone, let me ask you that. When do you think that mother should cut that emotional umbilical cord and allow that child to be whatever that child's going to be?
Well, emotionally, they're always attached to their child. But
okay.
as the child gets older, they have to learn to let their child grow into their self. And me,
mm-hmm.
personally, I think when a child gets between 9 and 12 years old is a delicate age.
Okay.
Because they're going from being a child to being a preteen to teen.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 to 12 is a delicate age. 12 to 13 is the most delicate age.
Okay.
They're preparing to go into teenhood to move into adulthood. And that's when the parent needs to slack up just a little, not a whole lot, but slack up a little to see what their child has learned and see what their child can do with certain experiences. You take
sure.
them out, you take them places, you teach them right from wrong, you teach them how to get home if they in certain areas, you make sure they know what to do in certain situations. All
okay.
of that prepares a child for the future, for what to look ahead. There's some people who believe that their kids are old enough to do what they want to do at 9. There's some that feel like they're not old enough to do what they want to do until they hit their teens. It's all in what the parent believes in. But as a mother, you never completely let go.
Okay.
And people say at home, you know, they keep saying mama's boy, mama's boy, mama's boy. But I tell you this, I'd rather have a mama that cares and is there for me than I have a mother that didn't care and say, I don't care what you do, you go out here on your own. Because
no doubt.
What's there to respect about your mother? But when you got a mother that cared about you and was there for you all the way through high school and everything and had your back, then that's the mother that you're going to, you know, you respect her for that because that's what you expect now. That's what you want to do for your kids.
No doubt. And you know, it's funny you said it because my mother used to let us know all the time. She's like, look, we might live in the ghetto and we might live in the projects, but that thinking stops at the doorstep because
exactly.
we're not going to allow that to affect how we think. So regardless of where we were living, my mother always pushed us to try to be a little bit better because she would say, I'm living here because this is what we can afford. That don't mean we're going to act that way inside our head. And even though she
right.
might not have had the education that she pushed me to get, she knew that it was important for me to have. And so her and my grandmother would always push for me to have more because they knew it was something that I was going to need later on. And you said something very important when you talked about the preteen part, which is, I'm glad you brought that up, is that age right before, that pre-adolescence is so important because the body will change so quickly because that's actually the age group that I work with. I work with I work with middle school students, so I work with that 10 to 14, and because we have slightly older kids, some are 15, even getting ready to go on 16 in junior high school. So you could see a child walk into the building in sixth grade and look and act one way. And by the uh-huh. time they get to eighth grade, when they're now 13 and 14, they could be completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different in thinking, in size, in emotions, everything. And so you can actually see the effect that the mother will have. And again, we're not excluding fathers tonight. We're just focusing in on mothers. You can see that the mothers that have played a role, negative or positive, what that does when a child, just 2 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah. I want to ask you, what's your thoughts on how do we help those mothers rope their teenage sons in? Because now, you know, when they get into the 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year age range, they're now expanding emotionally, mentally, and physically. What do we tell the mothers and how do we assist them, and what do we do to get them to be able to see what needs to be done with that age group, and the girls too. We don't want to leave the girls out either.
Well, that's, you know, how I want to say this. You know, mothers at that age, boys, we as boys, growing into young men, we have a tendency to buck when we get to that age. You
mm-hmm.
buck your father, you buck your mother on what they said, this, that, and the other. But when the mother lets it be known, look, you may think you older, you may think you taller, you may think you bigger and stronger, but I'm still your mother. Just like I brought you in here, I take you out, I chop you down the side. when a child knows that.
Definitely.
Like, when I went to, I entered high school at 12 years old.
Okay.
Okay. When I went in, I was a baby. I was the youngest one in high school. From elementary school through junior high school, my mother was always up to elementary school, and junior high school, I had a lady next door that she called herself my mother that worked there. So when I got to high school, I felt like I was free. And I'm not going to lie, I ran the halls, I cut classes. But I always knew if I got caught, I was going to get in trouble. So when I got caught and I was trying to tell my mother, I couldn't tell her. When the teacher stole her, I knew I was in trouble. I had to face the consequence. But my mother didn't say, well, you do what you want to do. No, she came down on me. You're going on punishment. She even went upside my head a couple of times, even though I was in high school. It was to let me
gotcha.
Know that no matter how old you get, I'm still your mother. You still going to follow my rules, my regulations. And
gotcha.
If a mother lets that be known, she let me do what I do, but she still let me know that I'm your mother. And
gotcha.
once a child understands that from a mother's perspective, everything will, you know, it will go smoothly and fluently.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, brother, I want to thank you for calling in, because it's always great to hear the point of view of other folks that, and you and I line up with a lot of the things you said, because I think what we have to do is understand that a lot of this is continuous. And like you said, not all mothers are the same. And I got to respect that, because I think a lot of folks want to try to pencil mothers all the same, maybe because of their economic situation or their color. When actually none of that really matters. It has to do with that connection from the start all the way through. So I think you made some very great points there. And we definitely appreciate you calling in, man, and hope that we're definitely going to hear from you in the future. I'm pretty sure we will.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I definitely appreciate you calling in. That is, let me make sure I get this right. That's Marcus Campbell, right? Yeah, that's Marcus Campbell, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, thank you.
All right, calling in from Richmond, Virginia. Appreciate the brother calling in. Made some very valid points. And actually, I swear, when some of the callers calling in, it's like they're looking at my cheat sheet. But he definitely made some comments on the things that I want to talk about. We ran a little after the hour, so it's a little after 9. We're going to take a 2-song break, get ourselves situated, and continue this conversation on just looking at the mothers, because I really want to talk about that age group that I got, and he actually brought it up, that preteen age, because there's a lot of things I see that maybe we can talk to the mothers about that they might need some help in, or just to even big up the ones who are making some things happen. So this is Reality and Relationships. That is Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. We will be back in 2 songs.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Belvin, GK Palace Radio. It's what a thing.
You taught me everything and everything you've given me. I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. There isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right if I didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me, to love and care for me. Those guys were great. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be. You will always be.
on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen. Mama, I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweetie?
Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given, and mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Cheeky Palace Radio.
Don't you know we love you, sweet.
And dear mama,
please, no one above
you. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate
it. Power,
don't you know we love you, sweet.
Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet.
Dear mama,
classic, 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 classic songs. Oh my gosh, Boyz II Men and Tupac Shakur. Let me tell you something, man. Those are outstanding songs dedicated to the ladies. And you know, it is so good to listen to those songs because, you know, that connection between young men and their mother, it is so important because the effect that that first woman in a young man's life can have, it can really shape where he's going to go and how he does things. And I can tell you, because as much as the wildness and all the things that I did when I was out there wilding out, there were things that my mother and grandmother had instilled in me that I just wasn't going to lose. Like, I've never placed my hands on a woman, and I never will. It's just not something. Now, I might have grabbed the young lady and say, leave me alone, and walk away, but never grabbed and squeezed, never. And more was just to back away. I'm not going to put my hands on a woman in violence, because my mother and grandmother drummed that in my head. Don't you ever put your hands on a woman. My grandmother used to tell me all the time, I don't care what's going on, if you got to walk away and just cry and beat up the wall or beat up whatever, just don't put your hands on a woman. And that stuck with me. Now, there was some other things that didn't stick. Now, I can't lie, ain't everything stick. I went out and made a whole lot of mistakes, but for the most part, when that foundation is somewhat solid, it's not going to go anywhere. And I think Brother Campbell, when he was speaking on it, you know, he said his mom went upside his head a couple of times. Now, y'all that's listening, if y'all don't know what going upside your head is, you know, I said, me and the brother was closer to the age. That's when moms puts that foot, that belt to you, that boot to you, you know. Now, I want to say this to the mothers, too. My mother, when I got taller than my mom and I got big, I'm over 6 foot, about 6 foot and a half, and I was a big dude. When I started standing on my mother, you know, listen, beating me, come on, stop. I ain't really hurting. So I think one day I spazzed out and I yelled back, why don't you just leave me the F alone or something, I said, whatever, and I was feeling big about myself. I think I was about 14. I want to say 14, maybe 15, that teenage age, maybe even 13. And I went in the room like I was feeling myself. I went in the room like I was the man up in this piece. I'm paying the rent. I ain't have a dime to rub together. My mom was real smooth with it. We're in the room, and I'm standing at the door like, where'd she go? Might have her make me a fried bologna sandwich. That's another show for another night. I hear her on the phone, and I hear her emotional. And I'm thinking, what's she crying about? I just put my foot down here. I'm the man of the house. She on the phone talking, da-da-da-da-da. She came by, walked right past, ain't said nothing. I said, that's right. You know not to say nothing. Who the man up in this piece? So about an hour later, the doorbell rang. It's when we lived in Jamaica, Queens, Rochdale Village. Went to answer the door, and my mom was smooth with it. You want to get that? I felt like saying, no, you go get that goddamn duck. But I'm going to go to the door, no problem. I go to the door. It's my two uncles. My two hood uncles. One of them got a quart in his hand, drinking. And the other one, who's slightly taller than me, was like, what up, nigga? Where your mom at? I said, she in the back. They walk right past me. I go in there, and I felt like saying, do you know I'm the man up in here? They're going to walk up in here and just push me out the way. I'll knock both of y'all out. Feeling myself right now. They go ahead in the back. They talk to my mom for a little bit. Now I'm getting a little nervous because I can't hear what they're saying, and I'm the man. You're supposed to speak to me. My uncle came back with a half-drunk beer, took a sip of it, said, come on in this room, let me holler at you a second. Now understand, I ain't stupid. I knew. I could tell by
the
way
he drank
the beer. I could tell by the way he drank the beer. I don't really want to go in that room. But I felt if I did go in that room, I might get hit with that beer bottle. So I go in the room, they both come in, close the door, one uncle sat down on the bed, the other uncle with the beer bottle put it down on the dresser and said, I sat down on the chair, said, come over here. Come over and sit on the bed. Said, yelling at your mom, cursing at your mom. And I was like, and he said, don't lie to me. See, when somebody asks you a question, and before you can speak, they tell you, don't lie to me. Translation, if I don't like the answer, I'm roughing you off. So it better not even sound like a lie. And then you got to be careful how you word the truth because you're still going to get it. And you know you're going to get it. I was feeling so nervous. So my uncle told me to stand up. And when he told me to stand up, I knew I was going to get hit. And the other one was sitting there almost like he was filing his nails, like he was pimping, like, go on, do what you got to do. I stood up, and that cat hit me so hard. And the funny thing is, you know, if you think you can see a punch coming, I'm trying to figure out how this drunk dude, and actually he wasn't drunk, I could just smell the beer. I'm trying to think how he threw a punch from that position. His arms were to his side. How did he throw a punch like that? Lord, he hit me in my chest so hard. And then the other uncle got up and said, get up. Get up and get some more? Are y'all crazy? Said, get up. I got up and now the other uncle punched me. Now both sides of my chest is hurting. I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack. I feel like grabbing the beer myself and taking a sip. So they commenced to hit me 2, 3, 4. It was like they were taking turns. And then like through the punches, I see my mom standing at the door and she goes, don't kill him. Don't kill him. You're supposed to be here trying to protect me. He said, don't kill him. I'm crying. They hit me in my legs. They hit me in my arms. Yeah. Arms is hurting. Leg, I'm crying like a chick. I'm on the floor, and they like, get up. No, get up. No. Sound like a scene from jail. My mom came in, and it was like, yo, she said, the next time you feel you want to curse at somebody and talk to somebody and you ain't paying no rent in here, you better remember this. And then they all left like, I said, ain't this child abuse?
They left you crumpled in a position.
Arms throbbing, legs throbbing, yo, chest hurting. Yo, I knew I was dying that night. Yeah, I had to be about 13 or 14. I knew I was dying that night. And my mom came in a little bit later and sat down next to me. I'm like, what are you doing in here? Because I was the man of this house. Now I'm just trying to get some air. She said, you know, you made me feel bad speaking to me like that. And I was like, I'm sorry. And she said, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to speak to me like that in a house. Yeah, you know what? Because my mother was still living. So, yeah, I was young. I was like 12 or 13. Now that I think about 13, 12 or 13. And she's like, I'm not going to have you speak to me like that because that's not happening. And she said, and if I can't beat you, I always have somebody that'll come over here and beat you. And I was like, all I could say was I'm sorry. My chest was still hurt. And the crazy part was, that's what was needed. Now, did I ever raise my hands to my mother? Never. Did I ever raise my voice to my mother? Not until I think I was well into my 20s. Rent, paying, you know, I think I yelled her about my car. Because she always said, when you get your own car, you do what you want. When I'm in my car, I'm going to say what I want. But the thing is, I understood about the going upside the head. Now, am I an advocate of mothers beating their children? No.
I'm an advocate.
When I say that, hold on a second. I'm not an advocate of just randomly beating your child, but I'm saying, yes.
That wasn't random.
Well, it was random. Listen, if I had known that that was one of the consequences, I don't necessarily know if I'd have went down that path. But no, I do believe in spankings, though. You got to be careful, though, because that drunk uncle might have took a couple more sips and, you know, had a flashback or something and beat me like I owed him money or something like that. But I want to look at, when we talk about the pre-teenage and that 9, 10, 11-year-old period for girls and guys is a very, very difficult age to sometimes gauge because they're changing so quickly and so many things can affect their development, diet. Television, the environment, what goes on in your house, what you say to your children. There's so much that can affect the child. So I would say to moms with Mother's Day on the horizon is that be stern. Be a disciplinarian. But make sure you gauge how far you go. Gauge what, how you say things. Gauge your tone. It's okay to have your child fearful of doing things wrong. And I would say this like doing things that's definitely wrong. But don't have your child just scared of you for the sake of being scared of you. They should be fearful of the consequences of doing something wrong, okay. But don't have your child trembling, just unable to speak to you because they're going to need you. And just stepped away from the mic for a little bit, so I'm going to rock with you for a little bit because I've seen what happens when I need to try to talk to a parent to help a child, and that relationship is not where it should be, and the child is not even being listened to. And so you got to be careful. And that's why when I said I'm not an advocate of spanking, yeah, sometimes they're needed, but you got to be careful because sometimes we can go overboard, and we can think that we're really doing good when we're doing so much damage. So you got to be very, very careful. And that age, 9, 10, 11, 12, That's a great age to really input future design. And what I mean by that is that's a great age to see what the child likes and get the child into as many things as you can, whether it's free or you got to pay for it, whatever. That is a great age to do some things. You know, we got a call. We're going to take a phone call. We got Q on the line. Q, are you there? Hello, do we have Q on the line?
Yeah, you got to unmute the button.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You hear me now? What's going on?
You know, it's the only button that has a U on it.
don't get at my host. Don't get at my host in the background. He's doing his thing, man. What's going on, you?
Hey, it is great, man. Life is great. I don't know if you remember me calling in, but, you know, life is good, though. I just wanted to lend a different way of thinking on your particular topic.
Oh, no, don't go right ahead, brother. No, listen, that's what it's about, man. Listen, not a problem. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm a little, well, I can only go off the latter part of what you was talking about. I don't know the whole topic, but the latter part of what you was talking about. I just think, because I want to see the urban community thrive,
okay.
I think it's time to start penalizing parents.
Start. Start, okay. All right. Financially or punitively?
Either or both, because the reality is,
yes.
When we were kids, we didn't have as many porno stars, prostitutes, and winos. I mean,
hold on, guys
now don't even have any dope to sell. They just stand on the corner.
Hold on 1 second, Q. Let me give you this. Let me ask you this, and hold your thought a second. Did we or did we not know about it because of technology? Because I think we did. If you look at our black exploitation movies, I just think because of technology, there's been a swing to folks wanting to emulate that more. Because I believe we had just as many then, but we didn't know about it because of technology.
Nah, not even close. Here's why I say not even close is because. Back when we were children, we had some sense of a culture and tradition, meaning that you had two elements going on.
Okay.
You had the families that were on the rise after the 50s when brothers...
Q, you're from Atlanta? Hold on a second. Q, you're from Atlanta?
No, I'm from Oakland, Black Panther, California.
Oh, okay. No, okay. So, no, this has been a while. I'm trying to think. I'm getting you because I'm trying to get voice sounds familiar. But I'm trying to. I thought you was a brother calling from Atlanta. Go right ahead, brother.
No. I did. I am living in Atlanta, but I'm originally from. Yeah. We have spoke before on our relationship.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I got you. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, but back in the 50s, 60s radio days, you had the brothers with the "I am a man" signs on their on their chest, talking about give me a job.
Yes.
And when those people rose, then you saw the whole mink and fur coat age.
Yes.
Where cats start filling themselves.
Very true.
And then I try not to do no opinion. I try to give somebody a link into why I think the way I think. But then you had these mink and fur coat cats. Then you had just before Reagan took over, you had this thing of, hey, look, remember the movie Claudine?
Yes, sir.
This like debunks the myths of brothers running away and, you know, all this type of nonsense. Here's a guy in the movie, and, you know, art imitates life, sacrificing himself to deal with a bunch of kids and a lady with a bunch of kids because he cared about the lady and cared about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've demonized that dude. Now that dude is irrelevant, and he's ridiculed on TV and commercials.
Okay.
You can't even have a Cheerios commercial where the little daughter cares about the father's heart without it being some black backlash.
No doubt. We fought welfare back in the Claudine days. Now we're fighting each other badly in the commercial now.
Right. So I say all that to say this. We had this culture, but somewhere along the lines, which is why I always make the statement, it was unfortunately ladies that start belittling brothers, saying they wasn't worthless. Oprah had a show called Black Men Working where she did brothers in for a whole month before Rolanda took over the crown. And that's when the word D-A-W-G was created, way before anybody started saying B on a record. So you started killing that culture of Electric Company and Sesame Street. You start telling people, hey, it's better to play the field. So now we've gotten to the point where, hey, feminism has won. Now the kids are terrible. And even if a mother raises the child, we still want to blame the father that wasn't around.
We don't want to give him access, and we say that he's running away, but where's the accountability? So it needs to be that now. I hope Republicans really, man, I know this sounds bad, but I hope Republicans really put a death string on black folks, because I'm just so tired of the I look pretty, I'm professional, but my child looks a hot mess. I got a nice house, I got a nice car, but my son hasn't had a haircut in I don't know how long.
Wow.
And that needs to stop. Government debt needs to be killed.
No, I don't disagree, but my question is it possible for us, meaning those of us in the African American Caribbean community, to be able to fix that and not have to rely on government involvement in any way, shape, or form? Because somehow we have to get back to policing ourselves. We did that at one time.
Right.
Is it actually doable?
No, because government daddy is involved. Let me take you back real quick.
Okay.
1700s, men got automatic possession of the children. Go look it up. Don't believe me? Go look it up.
No, you're right. I do know. I paid attention to that. You're right.
And men went against.
Right.
And men went against men in court to give women fairness. See, ladies always try to make it seem like they was in court. Ladies wasn't even allowed to make a case in court.
Yeah.
So men went against men to allow ladies that privilege. Ladies are not going to go against ladies to give men privileges. You saw the father's right bill recently get shot down. You saw the state representative of Utah, Mr. Wilson, a man, say, we don't care about unwed fathers. Let me say it again. We don't care about unwed fathers. So if you look at France and England, it wasn't until the Pakistanis and the Indian people came into those countries with their family mentality that things started to change, because they don't go for that. Asians don't go for that.
Mm-hmm.
Jews and Italians don't go for that. They're real big on family. And so I think you're going to see a stranglehold. You're starting to see it now. The CEO of Pepsi is Pepsi Worldwide is an Indian lady, and she talks about cooking for her family and all the feminine things that come with it. There will be a death of the independent woman, and then that person is going to, and there's also going to be a death of the I don't want to do nothing male, black male. And you're going to start to see them forced to have to rely on each other. It won't be us. It'll probably be the kids we got now. They're going to hurt come 40, 50.
I got you. And, you know, but listen, I have no problem with a different way of thinking, because you're coming from a point that makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, I was having a conversation, and I was trying to explain folks about Black Wall Street, about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a lot of folks don't realize why it's excluded from history books when it is one of the most tragic situations ever on American soil. We look at 9/11 as a day the world changed, but as many folks died in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in ways that's not even discussed. And I try to explain that there is bona fide proof that in a period of depression in this country, folks of color were doing well, families were doing well, doctors, lawyers were doing well by taking care of themselves. And I tried to get folks to understand that we can find a way to fix this, but we can't keep buying into ratchetness. And actually, Tiff and I were talking about that earlier, about I happened to come across an episode of Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta, and we watched it for about a half an hour. And after it was over, we both looked at each other with like a shame look on our face, like, did we just waste a half an hour of our lives that we can't get back?
You know what?
Go ahead, bro.
You know what? I want to hear what the sister has to say about what I'm about to say next.
Go ahead.
Here's the crazy thing, and I said this to you the last time I called in. We are the only group on the planet, you can't name no other, that puts female over male. A male would rather see another young male die than see a lady do without. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong or bad. I'm just saying simply this. Ladies are in control of their image the way Bill Cosby was, the way BET was, in charge of the black male image. You got to remember we was the angry black man years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We took control, Robert Townsend, of that image, Arsenio Hall, of that image, and we made it classy. We made it respectable. Now, Love and Hip Hop, reality show, these are black ladies who are writing these shows, directing these shows, executive producing these shows. They don't care. So it's not going to get better.
Okay.
I actually agree, because I did read something where it said that these are the women that are actually producing these shows. And unfortunately, the women, they have become so independent. I've had this discussion a long time ago, and the younger generation seems not to understand. Like, my generation and under doesn't understand. The older generation, like my mom's age and older, they have a clear idea of what I say. And especially in the African-American community, we don't know how to allow our men to be men. We emasculate our men, and it starts off with emasculating our sons. And I have this discussion often that we are in a mindset, and I'm including myself because I was there at one point, and it took a long time for me not to be so independent, realize in order for me to be in a marriage, I had to learn how to depend on somebody. And in the black community, for some reason, we have this image of the strong black woman that we don't need a man. We can do everything on our own. So I totally agree that the image needs to change, definitely. And I can't wait to what the brother was saying is the death of the single woman, independent, hear me roar, and the men running away. I want to see that come to them. We need to rebuild our family structure. It really needs to happen soon.
You know what? Let me just make a great black romantic point, because I know people don't like when we males say this. But remember, when we was kids, we saw those velvet paintings of black women.
Yeah.
Those beautiful afros.
Yeah.
When you was a young cat doing wrong, and the woman came around, you said, "Hey, sister." She said,
yeah.
"Hey, brother."
Definitely.
When was the last time you as a host, now don't answer this question, just feel it in your spirit, you too, Mr. Host, working on the button, when was the last time you was called the king? Oh my God, did I say a curse word?
Not at all.
Was the last time you heard somebody else get called the king?
Well, we definitely, I can tell you what I did, because I hear it often, but I definitely tell you, I don't hear it that often, and it's a shame, because my wife and I live our marriage out loud for that reason, to try to, we try to be as transparent as possible, because we want folks to see what a quality relationship is. And when we go out to speak, one of the things that is so important is when Tiff is explaining how she takes her position with me and allowing me to be out front, she's not doing it because she's weak. She's not doing it just to be subservient. It's
not
because
at all.
That's the position that she likes, and she'll say, "He's the king of the house. He's the man of the house. But I know he's protected. I know he's going to protect me. I know he has me." And one of the things that we explain is that that's our unity, is that I know my role, and I know what my role is to her, and now extending that to my baby girl. And we try to explain to folks that it works because we know our roles, but we love being with each other. So there's times that I play a background role because her talent required me to take that role.
And that's a smart dude doing that. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm being for real. I'm being for real.
I'm with you.
If you look at animals, and I know people like to say they're not animals, but if you look at animals, a lioness is a multitasker.
Yes.
Well, all females are multitaskers. Don't mean they better, but what a lioness does is very smart. She allows this lion to screw when he wants to, eat first, and all that. But when the big problems come, that lioness don't want to think. She don't want to interact with them hyenas and them rhinos. She kicks back with the cubs, and she said, "Hey, get out there. What you think you've been hitting it?" You know what I'm saying? And that's a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sitting up here treating a lion like he's a fellow lioness, "I got this food. You go get your own. We together, but we do our own thing." Then don't be mad when the stuff comes and then it's a problem. And every other culture operates like this. And it's like people don't understand. That's why they and their children become our children's employer. Because there's only a couple of us black folks who raise our kids to be business owners and affluent and forth-thinking. But look at the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
You know, it's brothers and sisters listening. Like I and brother, we talked a couple weeks ago. I think what happens is because folks are allowing the images that are permeating on a regular basis to take such a hold that they take what you'll say is, oh, he hating on women, or he's
right.
hating on, or he's not a real brother. And what they're not understanding, and as a business owner myself, and I just had this conversation with a brother at work, and we were saying that when you're trying to get brothers and sisters to release the way that they think, some of them will clearly say to you, yeah, I feel what you're saying, but then they'll grab back the ignorance almost as if they let it go, they're going to die. Because I've said to folks all the time, as you go into McDonald's and you don't argue about how much the Big Mac costs. You just simply buy it, and, you know, you open it up. It is what it is. But then you'll come to me as a business owner who has written a book, produced a book, published a book, printed the book, and not only will you not pay the $10 that I'm offering, which is already discounted because I say go look at what the retail price should be, now you get mad when I won't discount it, and then when I try to explain to you why the price is what it is, you get offended as if I'm trying to rob you, but yet the companies who don't care about you, don't do anything for you, don't speak to you, you run in gladly and get robbed. And then they'll say, yeah, I feel that, but they just don't want to release.
Well, that's because, and I know the sister wants to speak, but that's because it's the whole, I fear the white man more than I do you syndrome.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed how you'll be working and you'll help an individual? And
mm-hmm.
in some regard, and it's not in every situation. Well, take it back. Let's say a McDonald's. You'll come in just as nice. Hey, how you doing? Can I have an order of fries? And you'll get this nonchalant Charlie Brown expression. it's not a smile and it's not a frown. It's like a smile. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Definitely.
But the white person comes in, and they might even slip and say, "Hey, you, I want a no greeting, no nothing." Black person will automatically put on their step and fetch it top hat, grin ear to ear. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, can
yes,
I, yes, sir. Can I, would that be with salt or without salt? And you're like, are you serious? And I said this to a couple of Latinas that kind of did me like that. You know, over the years, why couldn't I get a smile when I came in? Now I'm an uppity Negro. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm gonna let y'all get back to y'all to y'all thing. I just want to make this a little powerful point.
Not a problem. Go ahead.
Here's my male bashing moment.
Go ahead, brother Q.
There's a lot of sisterhood. There's not much brotherhood. And to the point you just made, we don't want to sacrifice with each other. I am very lucky to have a couple of friends in my life who are willing to sacrifice. We don't like sacrificing with each other. Now that you told me about the book, I'm going to reach out to you at some point. We're going to talk about that because I have ideas that I need to get out before I take them to the grave. I don't want to do that. So, you know, we as brothers, we got this thing, and this is why I feel such disdain for a lot of guys. They always want to elevate sisters. And I tell dudes, have you volunteered for a boys group? Oh, they don't want to listen. Dude, are you serious? Somebody took the time to make sure you was good. Somebody took the time to make sure that boys club existed or that community sister center was on deck. And you don't reach back and do nothing but I critique Al Sharpton. I critique this person. I critique that person. Brother, can I get into your phone book and find out anybody that you helped? Well, that ain't the point. Shoot you dead now. You're just a waste to the community, man. It's just like, I don't even understand why you're here. You need to get your point back. Go over there with the Klan. It's just ridiculous. So, I don't know. Brothers need to get that together. But I'm going to get back to listening to y'all. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you so much, brother. And you know what? We appreciate you, man. Thank you for your support. And call in anytime, brother. You're more than welcome. Appreciate the points of view always, brother. So blessings to you. That is Q from ATL, ladies and gentlemen. That is what I'm talking about. Q brings it.
I so agree with him. And a lot of times I have women who say, are you crazy?
No, I definitely understand.
A lot of times women tend to think that my thinking is so antiquated, but look where this independent, strong black woman has gotten us. Our families are worse off than they've ever been. And I think that we definitely need to start making changes.
You know what it is? I think what happens is, and it's not, I think what people say about the strong black woman is that some women will automatically, and speaking about the mothers that we were talking about tonight, some mothers will automatically think that you're trying to take their independence. No. It's not about taking your independence, but it's making sure that when in being who you are, you're not now emasculating. And you said that earlier, and that's a great word, that you're not emasculating your counterpart. Because remember, I remember when Murphy Brown said, the episode about her having a child and having no man. Mm-hmm. It rippled through the country about, it just, white single woman, oh, they lost their mind. And folks of color were saying, well, sister's been doing this for years, because the power structure wasn't used to seeing that. They mm-hmm. weren't used to seeing one of their own saying it's okay to have a baby without no father around, because the white power structure was used to that. My thing is, folks of color forget that we once had that. Our great-great-grandparents had large families. They stayed together. Dad went out to work. You know, my ex-girlfriend, and you know Jackie, I tell you about all the time. She's the one that's in mm-hmm. my book. Jackie's father, Jackie was one of the few women I ever dated that said, I know my father's not going to like you. And I said, really? And I was like, so what? And when I came over, her mother was cool and the family was cool. But her pops, he was old school country. Like, he came in and one of his first things was, you know, this how you come over to beat somebody? I was like, who are you talking to? Like, I was up. I was like, what are you doing? But I now as a father, I understand it. You're dating my daughter.
Right.
I expect you to come over here and look and act a certain way. And he wasn't a man of a lot of words. But he was very stern and very focused on what he was saying, because he was the ultimate provider. He was always working. Like, moms was home taking care of the daughters. He was home working. Now, people would say, oh, my God, KL trying to take us back to the caveman days. No, he didn't take away his wife's independence. If anything, she had more independence.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the two of them had decided what their roles was going to be, and to raise four children from that marriage, three daughters and a son, and they all turned out well. Now, they had their ups and downs. They did the things that kids did, and they made some mistakes. That's what kids are going to do. That man, up until the day he died, made sure that his family had. They had a house here in Springfield Gardens. They had a house in North Carolina. He made sure that they understood how to take care of themselves. But the goal was to be married. The goal was to go out there, get married, and make sure that you continue to do the things that a wife and husband should do together and stuff. So yeah, we've gotten away from that. Mothers. And as we're getting closer to the end of the show with Mother's Day on the horizon, mothers, understand this. We're not leaving fathers out. I'll say it again. We're not leaving fathers out. We'll probably talk about fathers the next week or the week after going into Father's Day. I got something planned for the fathers. But mothers, understand that your child, and you hear my little one there, she wants to get on the air. Your child needs you. Your child needs you to not stomp on their freedom, but to guide it. Guide it in a way that you're pushing them to be the best that they can be. Expose them to a lot. Get them to read. Turn the television off. If your child is watching more television than they're reading, you are setting them up for destruction. Now, I'm telling you that as a father, and I'm telling you that as a teacher. If your child is watching more television than they're reading, the stuff that is on television is so devastatingly bad to their psyche, you may not get them back. You let them get enough Bad Girl Club, Love and Hip Hop, Real Wives or whatever, and all this other foolishness that's on television.
Bad Girls.
bad girls, whatever, and the stuff that the dudes are watching, you let them sit there. And we have not discussed the internet. If you're not sitting there watching what videos they're watching, if they're sitting there on Media Takeout and they're sitting there on World Star Hip Hop, they have access to pornography. And all you got to do is, are you 18? Yes. What child is going to click? No. And there's no filters. And if you're not providing those filters, you are allowing your child to have access to things that can irreparably damage them to where you can't get them back. If I could tell you the number of mothers who said, I don't know what to do, Mr. B. I don't know how to reach them. TIFF works with a young ladies group, Lady Doves, where they're working with women to get the young ladies to come out of their shell. Why? Because many of them have poor relationships with their mothers. I work with young men, and in my young men's group, I try very hard to get them to come out of their shells. Lord knows the relationship that they have with their fathers, and we're going to talk about that, and some of the poor relationships they have with their mothers. All this is connected. And as I was going to say earlier, that 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old launch pad, you know, I see some of the little kids down in public school, and I am shocked the way a 9-year-old speaks, or a 9-year-old speaks to a teacher, to a para, to an aide. And then when their moms come to pick them up, and then I see how moms act, I go, okay, all right, I get it. So I'm saying we got to step in and somehow change this. What you think, Darla?
I agree. I totally agree. And I don't know if we need more seminars or just more groups to get together.
You know what?
And
Q, if you're listening, we don't have time tonight. But Q, when you call in next week, Q, because I want to ask you, what did you think the punitive and financial punishment should be? Don't call in tonight because we ain't got enough time to discuss it. But please call in next Thursday after 8:30, after we finish the news, just for a couple of minutes. I need you to explain to me what the punitive and financial punishment should be for some of these families out here. I want to hear your thoughts on that because we didn't get a chance to talk about that.
I definitely want to talk about that next week because it's funny that you brought it up and that Q brought it up, because I've always believed that there should be some type of accountability from the parent, because we have a lot of parents that are very active in their children's lives, but we also have a lot of parents that are nonchalant and have a I don't care attitude or let somebody else deal with attitude. And we have to start addressing that, because I've seen parents just watch their children just do whatever, watch their children throw a wrapper on the street after they unwrap a piece of candy and not think anything of it, to take that piece of wrapper, either put it in your pocket or your bag until you get to the next corner where the garbage can is. Or, you know, the parents let them do whatever, and then as soon as you say something, they have something to say. They have an attitude because you want to chastise their child.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should start making those parents accountable. So that's definitely a discussion I want to have next week, for real.
Well, you know, that's something that, and we'll definitely sit down and iron it out. I think, like, I see it all the time. Like I say, and I say it in school, I feel in New York City Department of Education, you can only really suspend a kid twice. And then if you start now looking to suspend a kid a third time, there's a whole lot of hoopla and stuff. I say if a kid needs to be suspended, if his behavior has not changed after the second formal suspensions where he's had to be removed from the school and stuff like that, I've always said start charging the parent. And if a parent happens to be on assistance from the very city that is now trying to educate their children, start deducting some of that money back for the suspensions. And I've always said charge the parent for any suspension after two, and watch how quick some of these kids get themselves right. The problem is child abuse would go up in the city, and we would need to address that. No, I'm serious, because a lot of parents don't know how to deal with their kids, so physical beatings is the only way that they know how, and then they go overboard with it, and that's the danger with it. But I've always said there should be some financial damage to what's going on, because this is just starting to get late. We just had a kid today, supposedly had a knife. And when they were getting ready to check him out, he decided he's going to just push past the dean and the guidance counselor and run out the building. Now, my thing is something has to be done, because this isn't the first time that we've had a problem with this child, and how long before something seriously happens that now we're on the news. And these are all things going into Mother's Day that we need to consider. But I want to say this as we come to a close. To the mothers who are getting up every day, who are doing that extra reading, who are working the two jobs, three jobs, who are making sure the meals are prepared or like the meals are there so the kids can prepare them themselves if that's your situation. To the mothers who are doing the things that they need to do as a wife, doing what they need to do as a mom. To the mothers who are making it happen every day by themselves or within their relationships, I tip my hat to you. I salute you. And I say that you're not forgotten, and that if no one else tells you that they love you, I do. And if no one else tells you Happy Mother's Day, I'm telling you now, because we need you to hold it down until we can figure out a way to clean this up. We need you to keep giving the kids the motivation to be better. Keep putting books in their hands instead of the remote. Keep taking them out to the park. And even if you can't keep up with them when they're walking, you got them in line sight so you can see what's going on. Keep taking them to church. Keep getting them to understand that there's something better for them if they better themselves. And keep bettering yourself. Because as you've seen with Kevin Durant and looking at his mother when he was speaking to her, and every tear that came down his cheek and every tear that came down hers, he said himself, all he wanted to be was a rec coach, a coach at the rec center. But she knew there was something greater in him, and she kept pushing him. And he said, you kept us off the street. You gave us something to eat. And he remembered all the little times, and now that child is making and honoring his mother when he's at the top of it. So it does work. And so I hope, and because I don't want to end this on anything negative. I want the mothers that are doing it to understand that Mother's Day is as much about you as anything else out in the world. But it's not just one day, because to me, you're supposed to honor your mother every day. But if that's the day that y'all going to hoop it up, then hoop it up. And so with that said, as we come to a close, I want to say to you, baby, Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's funny. You've always said Happy Mother's Day to me for the past how many years now? So it's been almost 14 years.
But
it's just that
now we have daughter now.
I'm a full-time mother.
You're official now.
I'm official now.
You're official now. The stepmama title has been removed. You are official now. Welcome to the game. Well, listen, this has been Reality in Relationships. We hope that what we've talked about tonight has helped and not hurt, and we hope that we didn't make anyone feel bad about themselves, but we hope that everything that was said tonight was taken with compassion and love, and with Mother's Day right around the corner, we hope that if it's just that one day, then make it the best that we can, make it the best that you can for yourself and for your children. So to all the mothers, I say Happy Mother's Day and God bless. Baby doll.
Happy Mother's Day. Good night.
You are now tuned in to Reality in Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Belvin on GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby. It's better, baby.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what you got.
just wanna give to you,
give
make
you
love to you,
love to
if
you
with you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Questions they got to answer. Butter baby, butter baby, butter baby.